Welcome to WOW 2007, the podcast. You're about to listen to Rhonda Detmar and Virginia Murray using technology to improve post-school outcomes.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Detmar. This is using technology to improve post-school outcomes. Welcome. Sign in and grab a handout. And this is
Virginia Murray.
And we actually teach a technology transition class at Ironwood High School. In the self-contained autistic program, and we are expanding this year to include some of our mainstream students. So we're excited about that.
Okay, some of the things we want to cover today will include the current trends in transition and employment, the skills that employers are expecting for entry-level employees, and explain a little bit some different ways you can embed technology into the classroom's instruction and curriculum.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I'm hearing impaired, and if it wasn't for your lips moving, I couldn't tell you're saying a word.
Okay.
Could you speak louder, please?
I will try.
Thank you.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
Okay, we want to give you a visual to kind of help you. We looked at what we're doing as meshing a bunch of gears together to get the kids out. And so we started with transition. We incorporated computer skills, self-advocacy skills, and employability skills to help us achieve post-school successes.
All right. Basically, transition is defined as a coordinated set of activities for students ages 14 to 22 that focuses on transition from school to post-school activities. And the areas that we usually address in an IEP for transition include employment, community participation, residential, where they're going to live after high school, leisure and recreation, how are they going to have some fun, what are they going to do in the community, transportation, how are they going to get to and from work, to and from leisure and community activities, post-secondary education, that includes college vocational, apprenticeship, on-the-job training, any of those avenues. And then post-secondary education. After that, we deal with self-advocacy. And that's how they learn to advocate for themselves, say what accommodations they might need in a workplace, how they might choose to disclose or not disclose information to an employer, and what are some of their laws. The laws for disability. The trend for transition is based on the Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act of December 2004. It expanded that original law for free and appropriate education to add preparation of students for successful transition from high school to post-secondary activities. And they really started mandating that schools take four-year plans into consideration and that the entire IEP process be focused on what's going to happen after school. There was a shift.
Employment trends. Technology is changing the place of today's workplace. A few years ago, you used to be able to get online with the Occupational Outlook Handbook and look up courtesy clerks. They're no longer there. That is not considered a job anymore. It has either been automated or been taken over by other jobs within the system. So a lot of today's workplace, those jobs that our special education students were getting are being automated or being taken away. Technology is now becoming a necessary prerequisite to entry-level employment, not higher levels, but actually entry-level. Students are being required to run computerized equipment, digital time clocks. There are a myriad of ways that they're being asked as entry-level employees to employ technology. The other problem is as I said, those entry-level positions we used to have are going away, and so now there's actually a need for some higher education and training to even obtain entry-level positions. We have researched multiple studies that indicate our special education students are having difficulty in the areas of obtaining and keeping employment, inability to successfully access post-secondary education, managing their independent living, and there's a marked lack of participation in the community. And part of that goes back to the fact that they don't have the skills they need to make it in today's workplace. Some of the skills that are needed. The Secretary's Commission on Achieving Necessary Skills was done in 1991, and it had 5 competencies and a 3-part skills quality foundation. There's actually a handout in your packet that lists those. What's important about those is even though that was done in 91, they are still being referenced in the literature today of what is necessary to be employable. When some of the researchers have looked at that and they've pulled out 5 essential skills that special education students are lacking or need more in, and it was computer usage, communication, teamwork and thinking skills, and personal management skills. Another study that mirrored the SCAN study that was done just recently, in fact last year, came up with and expanded the SCAN skills into 2 areas, basic knowledge and applied skills that students need.
Okay, so as far as basic knowledge, they broke down that students needed to have good reading comprehension skills, writing skills, math skills, science, an understanding of government and economics. Foreign languages was a big one because our society is becoming increasingly more interdependent. History and geography. The applied skills that they talked about were students need to develop better critical thinking skills, problem solving, written communications, and that also includes technologies such as email. Teamwork, collaboration, creativity, innovation, professionalism, leadership, again, information technology application, lifelong learning, social responsibility, and diversity. Technology can be embedded in the curriculum to help special ed students, and I might say even regular ed students. A lot of them have skills already, and they're highly motivated to use the computer, and they're highly motivated to do some more on their own if they have the technology available to them and that access. So I think that one of the things we've really tried to do is embed all of our technology applications into the school setting and have it mirror the workplace as much as possible so that they're actually giving us PowerPoint presentations or giving us Word documents or giving us Excel spreadsheets, and they're making charts with those, and they're actually using the technology to present what they know to the class so they get used to presenting, and that's a big part of being in the workforce today.
Research tells us that part of the problem currently happening in transition is the narrow academic focus that most schools are at. They're really focusing in on those high-level ability testing. Another problem is the inability for special ed to articulate what they want and where they want to go, what they want to do. I don't know how many times we've asked a student, what do you want? And they'll say, I don't know.
Doesn't matter what you ask them.
Right.
Yeah. The other reason that they need these skills is the market competitiveness is doubling and tripling just like the information. It's becoming a worldwide competitive market. The rapid technological advances that were coming are changing the workforce. Every day they're making daily changes. My husband works for a bank and he now works with people from 5 other states are part of the team that he works with. All the jobs nowadays are connected to technology. There are technical skills. Even if it's only punching into a digital time clock and knowing how to do that and be able to do other things. Automation is getting rid of jobs, especially those repetitive jobs that our special education students were taking. And again, the worldwide competition, it's there and we have to deal with it and our kids have to deal with it. Research shows that our special education students, one of the things they're doing is confronting unsuspected problems, things that they never would have dreamed of, and things that we never would have dreamed of in the job place. Research is also telling us that there are direct correlations between self-determination, their level of self-determination, and their post-school success in all setting areas, not just employment, but across the board. The other thing that has to be taken into account is expectations of the student and their family. Are they realistic? Do they reflect what's actually happening out there? And how do we lead them to that understanding? One of the other big things is the interpersonal relationships that we help our students form and learn how to use, because those are the things that are going to become the basis for their collaboration and their teamwork skills in the workplace. And they need to understand that all of these things, all of these skills, are going to affect the quality of life they will have following school, following high school. One of the things that we've done is we've really focused in on visual learning. Our kids have difficulty learning, that's why they're with us. Study after study after study has shown special ed students usually have better recall with visual cues. Again, as she mentioned before, the context, the complexity, we need to be mirroring workplace environments. We need to be reflecting real workplace jobs. They need to understand the systems they're going to deal with. One of the things that we've been using is an interactive whiteboard that we got in our classroom this last year, actually, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And we found that this extends the possibilities. It has been wonderful. It engages our students. We've had students that didn't want to participate, that as soon as the whiteboard comes on, they're the first one raising their hand. I want to do it. It allows myself and Virginia to model. We're constantly modeling computer skills as we're using the whiteboard as we're teaching throughout the entire school day. It gives us access to real-world resources. And the fluid nature of it. It is so easy to just back up, repeat all the steps, back up, repeat all the steps. However many times we need to, it's not a major problem to be able to do that.
So in conclusion, the workplace is constantly changing and technology is at the heart of those changes. Students need to understand what they need and why they need it. And development of transition education that embeds technology with instruction is essential. You need to have authentic learning tasks that mirror workplace settings. And you have a copy of our PowerPoint and that lists some of our references if you want to look at those.
Just some of your resources we use. Are there any questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Authentic learning tasks that mirror workplace setting. I use a lot of production tests. I teach computers. So mm-hmm. is that falls under that authentic as far as like they have to build a household budget spreadsheet?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Under those authentic. That's kind of why we have moved away from, we've moved away from specialized software like Inspiration and some of the other things that are used within the school environment and moved out, and we've kind of looked at what are they actually using out in the workplace, and we found mostly it's the Microsoft Office product.
That's what I teach is Microsoft Office.
So we have really focused in on being able to have good Word skills, Excel spreadsheet skills, PowerPoint skills, Publisher, working with email through Outlook, most of your basic skills, and we have kind of eliminated the specialized software so that what they're focusing on, the skills that they're using, are the ones that they would actually use in the workplace. Now, we want to give you some hands-on. The next set of pages in your handout is we have moved to the visual for vocabulary. We've gone through and we've done some visual vocabularies. We've used screenshots for what we're doing a lot of times. We build the vocabulary first. We're going to be doing an Excel activity today that we do with our students, with you. We go over the vocabulary. We talk about the words we're going to use. They have a visual to reference so that when we're sitting down at the computer, they have this. They can go back. They can look and say, oh, okay, I see where that is. I see what that means. We do have a few that we weren't able to do screenshots for, but we talk about those as we use the computer. And then there's a close activity that I would do with the students to reference the vocabulary. to make sure that they're understanding. What we'd like you to do now is move on to the computer and kind of turn to the hands-on Excel. Like we talked about, we do a lot with self-advocacy and learning about yourself and your skills. So we start out with personality type testing. We do checklists. We do online activities. And we also incorporate multiple intelligence as a part of that. So today what we're going to have you do is we're going to do log on and take a multiple intelligence online assessment. You'll record the results on here, and then we're going to go in, put them in a data spreadsheet in Excel, and then you'll create a chart. And then we will go around, and we can't print in color in here, but we can pull them off with flash drives, and then you'll be able to Okay, on the screen it should tell you how to go. If you're a student here, you can go ahead and log in with your old one, your online stuff. If you're not, there are instructions on the bottom to log in as a guest.
Okay, thank you so much.
Certainly. Did you have any questions?
No. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things you were talking about are things that we were doing, because what I found was when I was just a computer teacher, but and we had special ed in our class, and I could tell our special ed kids were really good with computers, and a lot of times they helped the regular ed students, which was good for them anyway. But we did a lot of things with visuals, because I'm not one who can just tell me what time to see it. So I wrote my lessons with all the pictures throughout. So mm-hmm. I said, oh good, I was doing it right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's down there. Tell us to log into this computer.
And I have the document cameras on if you want to turn that on.
Okay. Hopefully at the end, when we get all done with this, you'll have something similar to this.
And if you have all done, did you want them to go ahead and just
start
following the directions?
Yeah. Okay, let me come help you.
I can't get logged on.
Okay,
wait, wait. Yes, it is right now. It says west. Yes. Oh, I see.
And then there you go. You're going to want to put
west. Make sure that she's logged into that computer.
West.
The domain.
You know if there's any way to lock these chairs so they stay up? I can't work this low. I can't even reach my feet.
Well, this one's a little bit higher.
It goes down. I already switched chairs once. You sit in it and it goes down. Lower. Okay.
too high?
Yeah, that's too high. I can't even get up.
So, let me see if we can get it to come down.
I took it as far down as it'll go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry. My experience is...
The interesting thing is we have our kids take these at the beginning of the year, and we've had taken it again at the end of the year, and there are actually changes.
I think, too, they get used to thinking about what their likes and dislikes are and how they learn. And so I think we get more accurate results towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
For the first one they answer, sometimes they'll just answer one way, but when they have more experience,
they're better at answering.
Wording's a little different on the first website, but you should be able to have, should give you the enough to be able to tell which one it's talking about.
I can't get there.
Interpersonal is working with people, intrapersonal.
It might be a higher
advance.
Then you didn't score anything. Here's top.
I think, too, across the board, the kids get the same one if they take it again.
Yeah, generally, that's why we like using this one. If you have difficulties with any of the instructions, just let us know. We'll be more than happy to help you. If you're formatting your spreadsheet, the easiest way to do it is click in the box above the one and next to the A. That highlights your entire spreadsheet so you can format everything at once. another thing you'll want to do once you finish typing your information in is click on each column separately and format using column and auto fit.
I know.
I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here.
One of the things we do for the students is we'll go step by step using the interactive whiteboard so that they have a model for those that aren't as comfortable using it, so until they get used to it.
So you do Excel introduction to your students before you do this?
Yeah, we would teach the vocabulary, like that visual
we teach the vocabulary, but we actually embed it in instruction, and so they learn as we do this activity.
Okay.
So we talk about it. We don't say, okay, this is how you would make a chart. We teach the vocabulary. We show them what some of the icons are. And then most of it is done while they're using the materials that we've already used. So it's sort of like we use it as a way for them to express what they know or to assimilate the information or to make something new from the information they've received in the classroom.
So the learning the technology is actually embedded within an assignment that they're completing or transition. It's not taught as a separate activity.
And I still love it. Like, this would be part of our self-advocacy unit where we're going to talk about learning.
Format the worksheet. What do you want done with it?
Basically what we did, when we ask our students to format the worksheet, generally what we're asking them to do, particularly in this one, and I'm sorry, I did leave those instructions out, is we click on and format the whole sheet at the same time, the button that's next to A and above 1, so you highlight your whole sheet. And we generally, what we're doing particularly with this one is changing our font size to 14. So that it's more readable.
Font 14, so
probably shouldn't have put that in.
Yeah, I left that stuff out, I'm sorry.
Is that what you meant, the format, that's all?
Basically, at this point, we want them to change their font size or their font type before they start the activity, and that's generally what we've gotten to the point, and I apologize for this.
Some of them don't need all the steps anymore, so we've been taking steps out.
And so when they're told the format.
This is an actual assignment that we give them. And some of them already know, like some of our students already know that they can only use professional fonts like Arial, Times New Roman, Tahoma. What's the other one we use?
Verdana.
Verdana. So they already know that if there's a different font other than the professional fonts, they're most susceptible in the business world. They change that. They already know that they need to have a 12 to 14 point font size.
So you teach the technology and then you give them examples to use the skills that they've learned?
No, actually what we do is we would do it just as we're doing it here. We would do the multiple intelligence testing. We would have done that. And then we would have modeled on the whiteboard the technology to put it together. So it's just embedded within the lesson. We're actually not teaching technology as a separate subject anymore. We're teaching it embedded within what they're doing with transition.
So I guess it would be part of our first unit on front advocacy. Well, how do you know how you learn? What are your strengths and your interests? So we'll do like Holland Code's personality types. We'll do a couple of different multiple intelligence surveys, compare the results, talk about it. And then, as a culminating activity, you're going to sit down and put the actual numbers in on a spreadsheet. Then they'll do a chart. And then we're having them work on electronic portfolios so that when they leave our class, they'll actually have work samples in all the basic office applications, and that they'll have a PowerPoint that they use to present and lead their student-led IEPs. So they can get up in front of the whole team of people in an IEP meeting and say, here are my personality types, here are my multiple intelligences, this is how I learn. These are my strengths, these are the accommodations I need to be successful at home, in the community, at work. And then that's like the final culminating thing. They may choose, if they particularly did a nice MI chart, they might create a hyperlink and put that right into their PowerPoint so they can go and talk about, this is my strongest multiple intelligence, this is my weakest. And depending on the level of the kid, you know, because we have various levels, it teaches them to advocate for themselves. Here's what I need, here's what I'm good at, here's what I want to do, here's my future plan, here's where I want to live when I grow up, I want to go to school, or I want on-the-job training, or whatever.
After they get the multiple intelligence scores, do you then start tailoring the different projects? You know, if you've got like a bodily kinesthetic nature, naturalist person who wants to get out, be moving and all that, do you find the projects for that student so that he feels or she feels that he's learning skills that reinforce that this is a desire of theirs versus those that are maybe more of that mathematical, where they're going to be doing more of the spreadsheets or data entry kind of people?
We try and do that.
We try to.
Since we have so many different kids, a lot of times we just plan for a variety of activities that encompass all those so they all get a chance. The other thing, though, that's important to know about that is it helps us choose and guide their whole four-year course plan for transition, which is now mandated. What electives are you going to take? Well, if you're kind of more of a bodily kinesthetic person, I'm not going to want to probably mainstream you into the world history where you're going to have to sit for a long time and listen. We do block scheduling, 90 minutes of lecture. You know, I'm definitely not going to put you there. I'm going to think you're going to be more successful in a wood shop or in PE or in another type. Use that to help them plan and guide what their electives are going to be.
The other part of that, too, is that we start guiding them towards jobs that are based on those intelligences, things that they might want to do. Like if we have a kinesthetic naturalist kid, we might be, you know, kind of heading them towards working as a park ranger.
Landscaping or something, depending on the level of the kid,
sure.
And having them actually do research.
another component of that class is we actually, they choose and select career pathways and jobs that match their personality types, strengths, abilities, and multiple intelligences. They try and match that, and then they do job research.
Okay.
And they do job research using Office Word. They do it using PowerPoint presentations. They may do a publisher. They may set up an advertisement flyer out of publisher to advertise themselves to a potential employer.
Okay.
You know, and they get really creative with it, and they enjoy it. And it gives them the visual cues they need. A lot of our kids have communication disorders. Some of our kids are extremely bright, extremely high IQs, but still have a hard time communicating with others and advocating for themselves. These visual cues help guide the way they can present to other people.
Do you ever have students then work on skills that they're all weekend?
Yes.
I mean, thinking of it like, you know, same thing, when you do have a naturalist body kinesthetic person, do you have that student then also work on the mathematical, logical, and just kind of that, you know, that well-roundedness, and mm-hmm. you know what, you might get a job as a park ranger, because a few times as a park ranger, you're going to have to fill out a, it's
forms.
Report and, you know, all that kind of
and
stuff.
That's kind of how we address it. One of the things we go in and do is when they're looking at the jobs they're researching that are in their strengths, they also put down the skills needed for the job. And then they have to look at those and say, okay, I need to work on these skills because
you
I don't have those. And then they have to come up with what can I do to improve my skills there.
Where do you get the research on the different jobs? The kids Google it?
Well, we've used the Occupational Outlook Handbook that's online.
O-Net.
We use O-Net. We've also used One Stop Career Centers, have a lot of information on it. One of the interesting things is that the Canadian government has some really excellent information on different jobs.
Okay.
And so
we also, through our school district, they also have things like online bridges, career planning. And there are also some other resources we can access from guidance or from the media and library center. There are things that they can access as well that are subscription in nature online. What we found is actually using books and magazines, and we started using video clips by United Streaming, which are good, but technology is actually changing the occupations faster then the videos can even keep up.
And
with
so the and the students aren't
so,
even noticing, oh, that wouldn't work today. That's the wrong kind of computer. We don't have those kind anymore.
And all of them are making the connection now. Almost all of them list, one of the skills I have to have is technology. That comes up every time in almost every job. And they also, what we do is we give them a graphic. These are the things you have to find. Here are your internet sources to find them. Go plug these in on a graphic organizer. What are the skills needed? What's the nature of the work? What's the salary range? What's the job outlook? All of that. Is this job a possibility 10 years from now, or is it like on the way out? You've got to plan for that because careers are changing. And so we focus on them actually researching two or three jobs in an area where they have an interest and a strength, and picking out what they need. They fill all that out, they think about it, they fill out the graphic organizer, then they plug it into an Office Word report, PowerPoint presentation with visual picture cues. They love all
a
that.
Publisher brochure,
maybe an advertisement flyer or qualifications brief. What would you present to your future employer, or what your skills are already for this job, and why you want it?
The other part of
we've been working.
We just started that. We just completed taping video introductions for their transition portfolios, and so we're starting to work with that a little bit. The other thing that we're having them do is they're actually going out and looking for companies online where they could get that actual job that they've researched, and then they're researching the company. Okay, what is this company looking for? What does the company have a motto? What kind of standards do they have? What do we need?
Where do you find their employee requirements? How do you fill out an online application? We practice filling it out, printing it, and grading it. We get a grade for that.
Can we have that? What site is that at?
Well, it would depend. If somebody was looking, say they wanted to go into retail, they might look at JCPenney online. And almost every major retail or most major companies will have a website, and they'll have a place you can click for human resources or employment. Get information. You can get job descriptions. You know, they may not always give you as far as what their salary is. And we talk about that, too, how you may not want to just ask for a salary or ask right away how much does this pay. You know, how do you make yourself marketable in an interview and go through the process?
That's all way, way, way above anything my kids are capable of doing.
We teach kids from pre-K through grade level.
And a lot of that our kids could never get into because they're too destructive. Mm-hmm. They're locked out of anything retail and anything like that. Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, what we have done, because we've had some kids that wanted particular jobs, we have gone out and gotten the information on the job and printed it and brought it in.
Yeah. Unfortunately, most of my kids have no intention of ever holding a job.
Well, and another thing, too, we have kids that won't either, and that can be identified in their PowerPoint presentation that they want to go. For example, we have a student that's nonverbal that's going to DTA next year. She's graduating. And in her PowerPoint, she put that she didn't want a job. So if I want to go to a rec program and I want to volunteer and work with horses.
I don't want a job. Don't want to work.
Mind you, I have a fifth grader who has his plan to fail already mapped out. Mm-hmm. He says, you can hold me back as long as you want. You have to let me out of middle school at 15. I can drop out at 16. Do whatever you want. I don't have to do anything. And I tried to talk to him about his future. He says, I don't have to work. I'll live with my parents. Mm-hmm. What happens if they die? Don't matter. He owns the house. He's got a savings account. I don't ever have to do anything. Mm-hmm. And this is very...
That's where we talked about the family and student expectations play a big role. And I have families that say, you know what, my child will be self-sufficient living on her own, and she doesn't really need a job either. And money isn't a problem. We don't need to secure services from Voc Rehab or DDD. The fact remains that that kid leaves school knowing that they can access. If they're a Title 19 kid, they can access DDD services. If they're not, they can access Voc Rehab, and they know how long they can access it. And they know how to fill an application out. And they know where to get the forms. And they know how to register to vote. And they know how to register for selective service. That's all part of our transition. When we talk about community, we do a whole unit on registering for selective service, voting, doing kids voting. We go online to the county recorder. We fill out a voter registration form. They do all of that just as if they were actually doing it in the community, you know.
Yeah, see, our kids are locked out of all of that stuff.
Yes.
So you would have to print that stuff and bring it to them.
One of the big things that we also do that I think is we teach them about the IEP. Direct instruction on the IEP. Okay. This is this page, this is why that page is in there, this is what information is on that page.
And this is what the law says, and this is why you have procedural safeguards. And this part of the procedural safeguards coincides with this part of the IEP. And what is transition planning? Well, it's a coordinated set of activities. What's coordinated mean? It means we think and we develop a plan, and the more we get to know you, the more we revise that plan to reflect what it is you want to do after school. The whole shift has changed from what are we doing in school to where do you want to be 5 years, 10 years from now, and then how do you get
there? And how are we going to get you through school to that goal?
If you don't want to be in school, what do you want to do? Do you want to sit in front of the TV? Okay, how are you going to have money to do that? How are you going to buy groceries? Let's fill out a budget. Let's see. How much money are you going to collect from your SSI? Is that going to be enough for you to buy food, video games, go to the movies? Pay for horseback riding. If you want to go horseback riding, is that going to be enough? And then they fill it out. And we have templates on Excel where they have expenditures and where they have income. and where the sources of income are, and where their expenditures are going. Does it match at the end of a month? Will it match? Are you going to have enough money to do it? You know. And then that gets into all of our math and our reading. We do more functional reading things because they need to do this. And it actually has saved us in materials because we haven't found very many good materials out there that teach us stuff. It's better to just go out in the community and get the real thing and bring it back in. Go ahead and get a bus book at the library. Go ahead and get the voter registration form off the internet. Here's how you access this stuff in the community. What are you going to do if you don't know how to find this stuff? You
know? I think the biggest change that we have seen since we started this is the job expectations of our students are becoming more and more realistic.
At first, they all wanted to be astronauts or chemists or scientists. And a lot of them are finding out, whoa, wait, you mean I have to go to college? You mean 8 years of college for this? No way, I can't do this. I can't even finish world history. I'm struggling in world history. And then we say, that's where you have to match what your ability level is.
One of our students in particular has gone from designing computer games to, I want to go to GameStop and sell the games to other people.
Mm-hmm. And one of them went from wanting to be a computer programmer and was taking classes and drew CTE for computer programming for a technical ed. And he ended up deciding that, man, this is too hard. I'm not successful. Let me try accounting. So now he's going on the accounting track with CTE. Because he found out he just didn't have the skills to be a computer programmer.
If
they never try those electives, they don't know.
Right.
That's how they get realistic.
And we actually have plans to let them fail in some cases.
Sometimes they need to
see. That's how they learn.
Okay, you know, you're not really passing your class. Why do you think that is? You know, and of course we do all that with the parents now. It takes a lot of communicating. But that's important sometimes. And it's better they do that where there's a safety net where we can give them some alternatives and pump up their self-esteem and say, okay, now what do you think we should do next?
What can we use those skills for that's going to work for you?
Well, what were you good at with this that you liked about it that we could find somewhere else?
So. Any quick questions? Because our time's up. Well, I hope this has given you some information, been helpful. If you want us to email more information, we'd be happy to do that. And enjoy the rest of your conference day.
Thank you.